Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Good. The band have done well this morning. Excellent. Thanks, band. Give them a hand. Give them a round of applause. Give them a high five as they come down. And great. Mother's Day is a cool day, isn't it? How many mums had a lion this morning? One. Okay. So we don't do lions in Liverpool then to treat our mums. We just get them up as normal. And how many mums got breakfast in bed this morning? A couple of you. That seems to be a bit more popular. And how many just went on business as usual? Yep, the majority of you. Okay. Oh, we know how to treat our mums well, don't we? Hey, listen, before I just say speak on a message this morning for Mother's Day, just something that's really excited me this morning. I love new books. I don't know about you, but I just love getting a new book. There's something very exciting about a new book. I don't know whether it's just the freshness of the pages or the anticipation of what you're about to read. But we got some new books this week for Mega Stuff that are brilliant. So, Wumi, if you can just pass those up. Is this echoey or reverbery? Does it make me sound better or worse? Should this be turned down? Check some of these out. Look, this book here is amazing. It's called Greater by a guy called Stephen Furtick, who runs a big church in America. Dream bigger, start smaller. I like that. There's this idea that it's dream big and then just straight away go into big things. But his premise is dream big, but then it's okay to start small. And it's all about the greater things that God wants to do in your world. And so that is amazing. So if you want just to challenge your faith and your thinking to expect bigger things and more things, then I'd pick one of these up at the end, because that's a great read. And you know, it's just wisdom to resource yourself. Wisdom to just inspire yourself. Take responsibility for yourself and to read up on some things. That's really cool. This is a really good book. Some of you may have read this before. Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace, which is just an inspirational book about God's unconditional love for you and what a difference it makes in your life. Here's a good one by Brian Houston. For This I Was Born, Aligning Your Vision to God's Cause. That is a great book. And I have read all of these. Oh, that's why they're so good. And because these are all books that God has used to speak to me. This guy is my favorite preacher at the moment. You just can't pronounce his surname. It's Tullian Chivijin. He's the grandson of Billy Graham. And he's written a book called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. And that is brilliant. And then this is written by a guy called Craig Rochelle, who also leads a big, big church in America. And it's called It, How Churches and Leaders Can Get It and Keep It. So if you're a leader in the business world, if you're a leader in the home, if you're a leader in ministry, then you need to get this book, because it will take you to another level in your leadership. And that is brilliant. Aren't they good? So go check those out, and you can go to Mega Stuff at the end. Thanks, Wumi. That is brilliant. Give Wumi a round of applause. Doing great. Here's something else that's happening this week to resource you. Jeff Letts is in town. For those of you that have never met Jeff Letts before, he's on the board of directors of Hillsong London. He's an American, and he's a millionaire. And he goes around inspiring people how to basically organize their finances to make them financially stronger. Trying to help people on a path of financial independence rather than being financially dependent on a salary or on debt. And so it's just, he comes around probably once every 2 years, once a year, just to impart wisdom to get you thinking about how you sort your money out. Because money is such an important part of our lives. And we learn a lot of things at school, but very rarely does anyone ever come and teach us about money. And yet when we leave school, the number one thing we've got to be able to use and work with is money. And so Jeff is coming to fill in the gaps that we should have all learned at school. And he's coming with fresh material on how to make you money wise. It's 6 p.m. next Sunday at the Radisson Hotel on Old Hall Street. It's £5 for the night. And here's why we're charging. Because it's important that you put value on the evening. You know that once you've paid for something, you know that you're going to invest in that thing because you're putting your money where your heart is. And so we want you to invest in this night and make it a night where you're investing in yourself. Rather than just picking on a freebie, and shall I be bothered to turn up? Oh, I'm not sure. You're going to have a different attitude if you're thinking, no, I'm going to invest in myself by putting £5 into this so that I get something far greater out of it. And I guarantee that you will. He's got a fascinating story, Jeff Letts, from rags, where he was homeless on the streets of Chicago at the age of 15, to riches. And there's a power in his life at sharing his story, and that you can learn and I can learn from that. So be wise, get money wise. It's at 6 p.m. next Sunday night, and that will be great. Is that good? Excellent. It's great to have Will I Am here today as well. I don't know if anyone noticed. Oh yay, looking very Will I Am. Oh yay, give us a wave. There, he's so cool. He has to be the coolest guy in the congregation. And so we'll get Oh Yay to give us a rap at the end of the morning, and we'll lead out with a bit of Oh Yay I Am, and that is going to be great. I want to tell you a little story from my childhood when I can't remember how old I was, but I must have been around 5 or 6, and it was a normal sunny summer's day. There we go, got it out, and finally. And I was playing in the garden, and then I went in to get a drink. And then my brother came in and announced that he'd been eating, helping himself to some of the things he'd just found in the garden and eating them. And one of the things on his top 5 that day on his menu was laburnum seeds. Oh, you know about laburnum seeds. Well, I didn't know about laburnum seeds, but laburnum seeds are poisonous. And if you eat them, they can kill you. And my mum transformed from happy-go-lucky, sunny, sunshine, summer's day to mum on a mission. Grabbed us all by the scruffs of our neck, hurled us into the car, and off we went to A&E. Whereupon my brother was plied with everything that the doctors could find to make him throw up, which he failed to do. And in the end, the doctors decided, their conclusion after all their tests, all their studies, was to my mum, they said, well, if they were going to kill him, he'd be dead by now. Much to my mum's relief, thinking, fantastic, he's not dead, therefore we're okay. And so we all went back in the car, and just as we were driving up to our house, my brother chucked up in the car. And so we got but it's one of those memories that just sticks in the mind. This story of my brother. The doctor's trying to make him sick, him failing to be sick, and then there it goes in the car over all of us at the most inappropriate moment. But the thing that stands in my mind the most is the transformation in my mum. You know, that there she was just enjoying the day, and suddenly it's like, it's just like blinkers are on, we're on a mission, I don't care what's going on, you guys are in this car, we're burning it up to the A&E. Nothing was going to stop her from making sure that my brother was okay. And there's something about mums. They just have that inbuilt ability or inbuilt desire that nothing is going to stop them from doing the best they can for their kids. That's why mums are so awesome. You know, on the scale of courage, you've got cowards, ordinary people, courageous people, and then you've got mums. You know, that if their children are in need, a mum just overrides any fear, any inhibition, and it's, we are just going to do this thing to make sure my kid is okay. You know, that's, you just think about what mums do. They get puked on, spat on, peed on, change clothes 6 times a day. They change 12 nappies a day. They fold 3 lots of clothes and laundry every day. That's just the beginnings. You know, but all through their motherhood, they are constantly laying it on the line to do the best for their kids. And that's why your mums are so special. That's why we honor our mums. And that's why we're enjoying today. All right. Heckling starts early, I see. But I want us to look at a story today where Jesus meets one of these mums who's on a mission. Because she's wild and crazy. And she breaks all social taboos to make sure that she gets the best for her kid. And so I want us to look at this story. Because actually, as a result of this story, we learn a heap of stuff about how to connect with God and how to get the miracle that you and I need. Because what I've realized is that today we all need miracles. We all need something that we cannot do for ourselves from the God of heaven. I don't care how well off you are, what job you're doing, what your circumstances are at the moment. I guarantee there's something in your life where you think, do you know what? I cannot pull this off for myself. I need help. And I want to show you how to get it from heaven this morning. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, to Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. And we read about this remarkable mum. Have you got it? It's going to be on the screens as well if you haven't got your Bible here, so don't worry. But here's the story. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, he said, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. I don't know about you, but when I used to read this story, it used to puzzle me. Because it seems that Jesus is being so harsh, he's slapping a woman down who is absolutely desperate for help. But as I've looked more closely at this story, I've discovered that there is something amazing in this story that actually ends up taking Jesus' breath away as well. I want to give you a little background to the story, first of all. Jesus has been going through villages and towns in Israel, and he's been telling people about the kingdom of heaven, telling them how they can enter by faith in God, and healing people, opening blind eyes, giving deaf people the ability to hear again, taking away all sickness, and it's left him tired and exhausted. And so he decides that the best place for him to go is to a place where there are no Jews, that's not in Israel, where people are not, haven't really heard about him, so that he can hide away and just recuperate and recover. And so he goes to this place called Tyre, where he thinks he's going to be safe from people intruding on him and making demands of him, because it's in a place where people like this lady are, these Greeks, who are not believers in God, who don't have the culture and the history of the Jews, and they believe in other gods. Lots of other different gods is what they're putting their faith in. And so that's the background to the story. And we find that there's a mum with a daughter who's distressed and afflicted. There seems to be some kind of demonic influence on a daughter's life that's basically disturbed her peace and her well-being. And the mum doesn't know what to do about it. There's no way that the mum can heal this daughter of hers. But the dilemma for this woman, because she's heard that Jesus is in town and she's heard what he can do for people. But the dilemma for is that she knows that she's completely disqualified from going to see him. First of all, Jesus is a Jew and she's not. Jesus is a rabbi and a Jew, and therefore there is no way that in their time and in their culture, a woman would ever dare approach a man like that because of his standing in their society. And it's a little bit hard for us sometimes to get that because we generally don't have that. But I guess it would be almost like you going for a job interview with a very rich, important businessman that you know is very powerful, and you feel like little old you. There's that kind of divide between the woman and Jesus. She's also from a non-believing nation, and her daughter is also sick, that makes her an unclean person by the traditions and customs of the Jews. And so there is absolutely no way that she should be approaching Jesus, and yet she breaks all protocol, all social norms, because she's a mum. That's it. Just because she's a mum and her daughter needs help, this woman is prepared to just go and find Jesus, and more than find him, burst in on where he's staying. Because what's amazing is that she gets no invite. She doesn't, it looks like from the story, she doesn't even knock. She just storms in. And she finds Jesus because she needs her miracle. Every one of us needs a miracle. Every one of us needs something that you have not got the strength to pull off for yourself. And I want us to look at this story and learn from it today. Because so many of us disqualify ourselves from going to Jesus to get a miracle. And this woman didn't. And that's why she's an incredible mum and one that I want us to esteem this morning and learn from. Is that all right? Does that make sense? Is this going to excite you for the next 20 minutes? Mums, do you get this? Excellent. Okay. Here's the first thing on how to get your miracle that you need this morning. First of all, you've got to make a beeline to Jesus. You've got to make a beeline for him. You see, this woman does not stand on ceremony and she doesn't have any inhibition because she knows she needs to get something from Jesus that she doesn't have that's going to save her daughter. This is quite an embarrassing situation. It's awkward. Because she bursts in unannounced, uninvited, and she doesn't just wait in line and kind of see the disciples chatting with Jesus and look, he's giving him some rest. And she sort of says, would you mind if just in a couple of hours I catch a moment with your rabbi? She's just in there. And she's emotionally broken. She's desperate. She's not polite and courteous, thinking, do you know what? I will speak with honor and reverence to this man, and I will show due deference to his position and the fact that he's a Jew and a man. It says she falls at his feet and she keeps on begging him. That is astonishing that she does that. She makes a beeline for Jesus because she knows that he's got what she needs and she's determined to get it. Here's what I've noticed about my life when the pressure's on. I generally don't make a beeline for Jesus. I make a beeline for my to-do list. I don't know if you are the same, but when the pressure's on and my mind is spinning out with stuff that I just know I've got to do, the pressure that I feel makes me want to just act and do something to fix the problem. Let me give you an example. This week, Yasmin, our younger daughter, woke up at 4 a.m. and woke me up just to let me know that she wasn't feeling very well. So in the end, I sorted her out, but I couldn't get back to sleep. And my head was just all over the place. I was thinking about stuff that needs to be done in the congregation. I was just thinking about stuff that needs to be done for Anna and I as we transition in this new season. I was just feeling as if I was being pulled in so many different directions. And all I wanted to do was get up and start doing. I had a message to prepare by 11 a.m. that next morning. And I thought, wow, maybe I should just get on with that then if I'm awake. And maybe I should just do that. And do you know what? At that point, I thought, do you know what I've really got to do first? I've just got to make sure that I make a beeline for Jesus first. Now, listen, it was not like an amazing morning at 4 a.m. where I thought this is going to be. The angels didn't come and start singing in the window. I didn't feel like there was just a holy glow through through the door. I felt half asleep, in all honesty. I felt a little bit distracted with all the things that were there. But I thought, I'm determined to be in his presence first and remind myself of why he is so awesome and who he is for me and what he can do. I thought, if I do that first, just even for 15 minutes, it makes a difference to the start of my day. There's another default in me that loves to have a pity party. I don't know if anyone else shares that little... none of you. That's amazing. No one else has a pity party but me. Okay, it's just my fault line. You can all just take pity on me as I have my pity party. But a pity party basically says, woe is me. Poor me. Poor me that I'm going through this right now isn't this bad. But do you know, in those 15 minutes, I thought, I don't need a pity party. I had a praise party. Because I thought, there's stuff that I can be thankful for this morning, that I can praise God for because of everything that he's done for me. This is the way to start my day. Do you know, at the end of my 15 minutes, I didn't feel like the mighty man of God for the hour with all the power. I just felt like me. But I thought, do you know what? I've made a beeline for Jesus instead of just getting busy with the pressures and the things that I feel like I need to do. you don't need to have an invitation to make a beeline for Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait until all your circumstances are sorted until you actually go to him and say, Jesus, I need help. You don't have to allow the pressures that are on you to muddle your mind so much that you make yourself so busy and so preoccupied that you never make a little bit of space to invite his presence in. And if I can encourage you in one thing, just in your day, just make a beeline for Jesus Christ. Just think, Jesus, I just want to center myself, my thoughts, my emotions on you today. I want to put some words of praise in my mouth. I want to remind myself of the good things that you've done for me in my past, and therefore the things that I'm expecting you to do for my future, because you are faithful, because you never change from before to today to the future. You are the same God, always and forever. And therefore I will praise you. Just one thing. I'm just going to say this now, and I know it's Mother's Day, but it really helps me out if everybody claps. Is that really wrong? And I'll tell you why. I don't know why. It just really helps me out. It just creates a really good atmosphere. So for anyone that if you hear someone like Steve, just clap. Oh, now look. I like that. I know it's, you see, this is how shallow I am. I don't have the depth of Beth who comes up with all this eloquence. And you know what? It makes you feel quite excited. It does. I've noticed a change in your face when you clap. So believe me, it's good. Here's the second thing about how to get your miracle. You've got to get over yourself. You've got to get over yourself. It's quite interesting that. You see, Jesus in this story, first of all, challenges this woman's superiority complex. Because he basically says to her, when she comes in and demands some help, he tells her a parable, and she's part of the parable. And he says, look, in a home, when we put food on the table, it's the kids that eat first and the dogs eat second. They get the leftovers and the scraps. In other words, because you are not a Jew and you're not part of the chosen group of people that God has called to fulfill his promises and his purposes, you are like a dog in the story. You're getting the crumbs and the scraps and the things that are left over. And I'm sorry, sweetheart, but first of all, I'm here for the Jewish people. And then a little bit later on, everyone else will be invited to the party. And understand this, Jesus was not here to exclude you and me and anyone else who isn't a Jew from entering into the kingdom of heaven. It's just that he was saying there's an order. And so he spent most of his time when he was alive speaking to Jewish people in Israel. But once he had come back to life, having been crucified, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and tell them what has happened. So he had nothing against anyone from any other race. It's just that at this particular moment, there's an order of things, and in that order, he's saying to this lady, you're like the pet in the house. You're not one of the kids. Now, I don't know how you would react if Jesus put you there in the pecking order, but I know how I would react, because not only do I have pity parties from time to time, I also have I like to stand up for myself. I don't like people to put me down. I would rather defend myself and stand on my rights and tell people who I am. And don't you know who I am? And don't you know what I've done? And don't you, how dare you speak to me like that? Now am I the only one? Yep. Okay, so I'm still the only one. You guys are so holy. I love this. I'm just going to preach to myself for the rest of the morning. But the most amazing thing about this woman is that she doesn't take offense, that she doesn't stand on her rights, and she doesn't demand what she feels is entitled to her. Funny that, isn't it? Because we all feel entitled to things. We do. We feel entitled to people being polite and kind to us. Because, and I know that, I tell you how I know that, as soon as someone isn't polite or kind to you, you get upset. Therefore, you felt it was an entitlement. You feel entitled if you work hard that your boss should notice. And I know that because when he doesn't notice you and looks over you and gives the credit to someone else, you get upset. So all of us carry that sense of entitlement that we deserve something. And yet for this woman, I was talking to Dan Ray about this week, and I had a great conversation with him, and he said the most amazing thing about this is she took it. I love that. She took it. In this story where Jesus says, you're the dog, she took it. She said, yep, okay, I'm the dog. I'll be the dog in this story. If that's where I fit, I'll be the dog. She got over herself and was enabling herself to take a place of humility. You see, if we think we're better than we are, we demand what we feel that we're owed, and we live a graceless life. We constantly live in a world of transaction. And I get because I deserve, and I will give because you deserve. And your whole world revolves around, I get and I give, I get and I give. And therefore, it's graceless because it's all based on how you're treated. If someone treats you well, you treat them well. If someone treats you badly, you treat them badly. Instead of a world that says, do you know what, I will stand back from what I feel I'm entitled and allow myself actually to not defend my rights, but allow myself to be in a place of humility. And that's one of the keys to getting your miracle today. That instead of going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I deserve. Don't you see what I've done? Don't you see how what I've given and what I've sacrificed and what I've put in? Don't you see all of those things? Because if you come on your own merit, you have to stand on your own merit. You see, the beautiful thing about this woman is that she doesn't do that. The next thing Jesus does is he challenges her inferiority complex. Because you see, now that she is in the story, the dog, my third temptation, gosh, there's a lot of stuff here, but would be, gosh, I'm the dog. All right then, I'll back off. I won't bother you. If you think that in this story there are children who are more deserving than me and have the place of privilege and I'm the dog, then Jesus, I will leave you alone. I won't trouble you. I feel inferior now. So I want to leave you alone. And then when I feel better, or I think that you think I'm better, then I'll come back. And so whether you feel superior or inferior, you don't get the miracle. Because both of them exclude you from getting what you need and allowing Jesus to give that to you. You see, this woman is bold and audacious. And she approaches Jesus, and she's very, very assertive. But the beautiful thing about her assertiveness is it's not based on herself at all. But most of us, our assertiveness is based on how good we feel about ourselves. So I'm preparing a CV at the moment, looking for work. And that sounded like a little plea. Looking for work. It's not. But here's a thought on my CV, right? So I put my CV together. I didn't lie at all. It was all honest truth about what I've done and accomplished in my life, starting from the age of zero. And it's 75 pages long. It's amazing. And I looked at my CV and I thought, this is amazing. I feel great. I deserve a great job. Then I got onto LinkedIn. Is anyone on LinkedIn? And I looked at people who do the jobs that I thought I'd like. And I looked at their resume and I thought, gosh, their resumes are brilliant. Look, they've worked for Nestle and Mars and McDonald's. And I thought, my resume's rubbish. I don't deserve a good job at all. So my sense of confidence and audacity to demand what I want is based on how good I feel about me, not on how good God is. But the amazing thing about this woman is that she comes in the confidence that Jesus is good, not her. And that's the power of getting the miracle. In effect, she says to Jesus, give me what I don't deserve on the basis that you are good and give it to me now. That's audacious. And Jesus doesn't go, how dare you, you audacious little whippersnapper. Don't you remember who you are? You're the dog. Be the dog. Down. He doesn't do that. At the end of this story, she gets her miracle. Jesus is not offended by your audacity. He just doesn't want you to base your audacity on yourself, but on his goodness for you. That is the confidence with which you come to him to get what you need. It's his goodness, not yours. It's his perfection, not your perfection, because you ain't got none. It's not standing on your own rights, because he laid aside all his rights to die to give you something that you could never get for yourself. It's actually letting go of your rights and saying, Jesus, I am the dog in this story. You are the King of Kings, but I'm coming to get what I know you want to give me based on your goodness for me. And I love this woman. She's living in the power of now, the power of now. She doesn't say, Jesus, give it me in 2 weeks' time. That'll be fine. Maybe I can just better my life, improve myself, be a better person, give a little bit more maybe in the time, treat my daughter a bit more nicely and not be so fiery with her, and I'll be a better. She doesn't do any of that. She just says, Jesus, I want it now. I want it now. And so often we procrastinate and defer and think, oh, Jesus, you can do it in the next 12 months. That'll be excellent. Sometime soon would be wonderful. Or maybe in the next 5 years. She says now, Jesus, I need this now. He doesn't want to do it tomorrow for you. He wants to do it today. He wants to meet your need right now. He's not procrastinating. We are. And we procrastinate because we don't quite believe that he's got the power to do what we need him to do. The last thing on how to get your miracle, learning just from this mum's example, is that you've got to believe that Jesus has more than enough for you. See, in her response, she says to Jesus, she says, even the dogs get the crumbs. She's thinking, Jesus, I don't need everything you've got. I just need the crumbs off your table. I just need the over. I just need like a spillage, a drop. You know, as you're carrying the drink to the table, I'll just take the drops that fall from the cup. I'll take whatever you've got to give me. I know it's enough for me. Oh, I love that. That she's got this confidence that God has more than enough for her. So many times we think that God has a pie. And if he gives someone else a big piece, then we've only got a small piece left, because once the pie's run out, it's run out. God isn't finite. There's no constraint on what he can give. It flows from just a resource that is never ending. You can't charge the depth of his resource. I've been to Niagara Falls, and I've been on that funny little boat, the Misty Maid, or whatever it's called. Maiden of the Mist. I got that wrong. Oh, yeah, you've all been to Niagara Falls, haven't you? Yeah. Made famous. What's that film with Bruce Almighty? You've seen a Bruce Almighty? And it's really cool, right? Because these boats go into Niagara Falls, and everyone gets these little yellow capes, and they all look like little Oompa Loompas, and they all sort of waddle onto the boat. And the most amazing thing about this, right, is that the boat goes towards the fall, the drop zone of Niagara, but you never go right in, because it would just crush the boat. You just go on the edge. But even on the edge, you get absolutely saturated. And you stand there as the force of water is just flowing over, dropping hundreds of feet. And you don't have to be anywhere near where it lands. You just got to be somewhere in the vicinity. And you're going to get a good soaking. I love that. That's what this lady's talking about. She's saying, Jesus, I don't need the full force. I'll just be somewhere in the vicinity of your favor. And I'll get everything that I need. I'll get a good soaking. You know, she's saying, listen, I don't need the bread, I'll just have a crumb, but that crumb is far more than I need. You just give me what you got, Jesus, for me. I'll take what's going, but it's more than enough. If you want to get your miracle, you've got to believe that Jesus has more than enough for you. And I love this. You see, Jesus, his reply to her, the way this Bible's translated, it sounds really mundane. In the story, it says, for such a reply, you may go. When you look at the translation, he's gobsmacked. It's like, wow. That's the most amazing response I could ever have received, that you have said that, that you've put in all of this parable. You get it. I've got these disciples. They follow me around. They don't get a single parable I ever tell. And here am I telling you a parable, and you've got it, and you're in it, and you've gone where you should be, and now you're going to get everything you need. That's how Jesus is working here. How awesome is he? He says that's the most amazing answer. There's only two times in the Bible Jesus says that. Once is to this woman. The other is to the centurion who asked for his servant to be healed by Jesus. And he says, just say the word, Jesus. You don't need to come back with me. Just say the word. He will be healed. And Jesus is like, wow, you have blown my mind. I am gobsmacked. And what I love is that neither of them were Jews. Neither of them were wrapped up in religion. They just knew they needed something from Jesus Christ, and he had what they needed. And so often, your religious thinking, your treadmill of perfection stops you from getting what you need from God. Because you think, if one day, God, I can be better, then you'll give me what I need. If one day I can just perform to the level that I think you want me to perform at, then I'll get what I need. And you're far away. Jesus wants you just running in, saying, Jesus, I'm not coming here based on my CV, my performance, how good I am, how good I'm not. I'm just here, Lord Jesus, because you are great and you have everything I need. Come on, today's the day. Give me what I need. It's audacious. It's bold. This woman shows you how to approach the throne of God, not with like 75 Hail Marys, not with an hour of meditation and listening to me just to get you into that mental state where you can. I think this woman was, she'd gone. She tipped over the edge. She just needed something from heaven, and she knew where to get it, and she went for it. When was the last time you were like that with God? When was the last time you thought, forget everything that I even know. Jesus, all I know is that I need you. I'm not here on my performance. I'm not here on how good I am. You're good. That's enough. I need the miracle today. There's a surplus in heaven, and it's according to your faith. Just before I close this, let me just take a detour to First Fruits, because First Fruits is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and First Fruits is just our annual offering where we just put our finances first in God's hands, and we say, God, we're going to believe for you as we give. And forgetting where it goes to for a minute and all the great causes that money gets invested in, it's according to our faith. It's according to the faith that believes that Jesus has everything that we need. That the Bible's promise to us is that he's able to supply seed to the sower. That he's able to not just give you seed, but also bread. He'll provide you with the bread you need and seed to sow again and sow again and sow again. And it's according, our faith has to get hold of the abundance of heaven. So often what I do is I look at the bank account and think, oh, I've got that finite amount of resources, right? That's what I will give based upon. And yet we live with a God who isn't ruled by mathematics. When he wanted to feed 5,000 people, he used, I can't remember, 12 loaves. Five loaves. Oh, thank goodness there's some Bible scholars in the room. When he wanted to feed 4,000 people, he used more bread and fish. His maths never makes up. His economy is not like ours. It's not logical and rational. It stems from an infinite supply of the riches of heaven. And it's according to his glorious riches, that we receive everything that we need for life and for godliness. And there's a power here today. Can we have Ellie back just to start playing keys? I just want to land this by saying that there are miracles here today that Jesus has for you. There are gifts that he's got for you that have been prepared for you, that he's waiting for you to say, Jesus, I'm in, I need it now. And instead of thinking, Jesus, have I done well enough? Do I deserve this? Just shift the focus and start looking at what he has done to make you worthy. What he has done to make sure that you're eligible. Because your eligibility is based on everything he did at the cross. He died for you. He who was rich became poor so that those who are poor can become rich. Actually, the only criteria is to understand that you are poor, you are a dog, you are in need, you need something of heaven. But if you get that, then all of heaven's resources are available to you, because now you come not in the basis of your own strength, acknowledging your own goodness, but you come in the goodness of Jesus Christ and everything that he wants to give to you. I just love everyone, just quickly, just to stand right where you are. We're going to pray and we're going to believe. And we're going to be like this mum. And we're going to be audacious and we're going to be bold. And we are not going to be religious this morning. Don't you dare now start going into religious mode, having heard a message that says, come on, you are not to be religious. You know, so often we default back into, oh yeah, I've got to bow my head, close my eyes, got to be. Listen, you need a miracle this morning. It's time to say, Jesus, I need a miracle. I want it. You got it. I need it now. I don't know. In a room with this number of people, there may be people that need a financial breakthrough. Well, Jesus has that for you. There may be people in this room that need a breakthrough in their health. And Jesus has that for you. There may be some people here that need a breakthrough in a relationship. It might be with a son or a daughter. It might be with a parent. But you need a breakthrough in that relationship. And you feel like you've done everything you can and there's been no change. But now you've got to let go and understand that Jesus has more than you have got to fix this situation. So I just love you where you are, just to lift your hand right now. If you need a miracle, just raise your hand. Because we're coming into the presence of Jesus Christ, not with a sense of woe is me or with a sense of inadequacy or disqualification this morning. We're coming boldly before his throne of grace, his goodness, his unconditional favor and love, and his goodness goes before him. And we want to thank you, Jesus, that you love us. And we want to thank you, Jesus, that you have done everything required to give us what we need for life and for godliness. Lord, there are people in this room today, we need a miracle. We need a job. We need a promotion. We need a breakthrough in our family life. We need a breakthrough with our health. But Lord, all we know is that when it comes from you, it's awesome. When you give us the breakthrough, it's better than our wildest dreams. We know, Lord Jesus, that you have more than enough for every person in this room. And we stand before you, Lord, and say, give us the miracle we need, because you are good, and give it to us now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. There may be some people in the room this morning that you've thought, as you've heard about this, you've seen this story of Jesus and you thought, wow, he's not just a guy who was around some time ago. He's actually really alive and relevant to me today. He is, and he's here for you. And even though you may not have understood or known it, he's actually been waiting for you for a moment like this where you simply say, Jesus, I need to connect with you. I need to receive you as the savior of my life, the fixer of my life, the controller of my life. You know, when you give over the controls of your life to him, you put the wheel, the steering wheel, in very safe hands. I'm a very unsafe driver. Don't trust myself. But you put your hand, put the wheel of your life in his hands. He's safe. He's good. He's trustworthy and true. And you can do that right now. You don't need to be a prayer expert. You don't need a theology degree. You just need a heart that says, I believe. Jesus, I believe. And this morning, if you want to respond with faith and say, Jesus, I want to be made fit for heaven. I want to receive the goodness of everything that you died for on the cross. You simply need to respond this morning by saying, could you pray for me? Could you pray for me? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask everyone just to close your eyes, bow your head, not for religious purposes, but just so that people who respond right now know that this is between them and heaven without the world looking on. And as everyone has bowed their head and closed their eyes, if you want me to pray for you right now so that you can receive Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, being made fit for heaven right now, all I ask you to do is lift your hand and I will pray for you. Lift your hand high. There's a hand that's gone up. Is there anyone else that wants me to include you in this prayer? I want you to lift your hand. This isn't about the person you came with. It's not about the person that stands to your left or right. It's about you and Jesus Christ connecting with the maker of heaven and earth and putting your faith in him. Is there anyone else that wants to respond this morning? Because I'd love to include you in this prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the guy that's lifted his hand. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd bless him. I want to pray, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of his heart. I want to ask, Lord God, that you'd make yourself known to him in ways that blow him away. Give him the gift of faith. Give him the gift of faith, Lord, that becomes like dynamite in his hand, that explodes through doorways and passageways that seem blocked, that become open to him because of the gift of faith given to him through you, Jesus. We bless him. Pray, Lord, he'd know your peace and your goodness in his life. And we thank you. And everybody say,
thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.